How's everyone doing? Good, good. All right. How many of you here speak more than one language? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are fluent in Spanish? Okay. Don't judge me for what I'm about to say, okay? But Brother David said the Spanish sounded good, so he if it's wrong, it's his fault. Okay? Well, first of all, I'm a traveler, okay? I'm a world traveler, and I love to do missions work. And I've always loved the Spanish language. I studied it for 4 years in high school, even though I only needed 3 years. I studied it in college, even though I didn't need it for my degree. I would often visit a Spanish church, memorize scripture in my bilingual Bible, and I took conversational Spanish with a tutor. And I spent a lot of time in Central America. I was obsessed. I'm a little rusty now. That's why I apologize in advance, because I no longer spend like my summers overseas, and I'm not immersed in it the way I used to be. So here it goes. Pero me encanta el idioma de español. Es bien bonito. Yo estudié español por muchos años en el colegio y en la universidad. También fui una misionera en El Salvador para 4 veranos desde 2008 hasta 2011. Pero es muy difícil aprender un idioma. Toma mucho tiempo y práctica. Pero no cuando el Espíritu Santo vino en Hechos por la primera vez. Thank you. So this is what it says. I love the Spanish language. It's so beautiful. I studied Spanish for many years in high school and in college. Also, I was a missionary in El Salvador for 4 summers from 2008 to 2011. But it's very difficult to learn a language. It takes a lot of time and practice, but not when the Holy Spirit came in Acts for the first time. All right, so we're going to be studying tonight about the very first time that the Holy Spirit came after Jesus' ascension. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, even though some people don't think he was involved in different ways, and he came to certain individuals for certain specific events, but it was not for everyone at that time. So we're going to talk about Pentecost, okay? Before I read the passage, I want to give you a little background on what Pentecost is, because we are Pentecostal church, and maybe you aren't sure like what that means. I didn't always know what it meant, but Pentecost was actually a feast that was held once a year on the day after the 7th Sabbath after Passover. The word Pentecost literally means 50, because the feast was celebrated 50 days after Passover. The Jews celebrated 3 feasts each year, one of them being Pentecost, one Passover, and one the Feast of Tabernacles. So here's a quick timeline. Jesus was crucified at the time of Passover, and then his ascension was 40 days after his resurrection. 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit came, which is also 10 days after the ascension. So we're a Pentecostal church, so it's kind of important to know where that came from, right? So I'm going to read to you the scriptures, Acts 2, 1 through 13, which is so powerful. And again, I'm so excited to be preaching this passage tonight. This is in the ESV version. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and sorry if I don't pronounce everything right, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." All right, so our main point tonight is we should seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, point one is because the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe in him. That's me and you. That's not just the 120 in the upper room on that night. That's me, you, today. We are all able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so excited because I love that Pastor Stephen enabled us to have about 20, 25 minutes at the end of service to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited. I hope you're hungry. One of my best friends recently, you know, I was saying, "Oh, I just want more of God. I want to feel more connected to God. I desire to know him more. I don't feel as close to him." And he said, "Christina, if you said, 'I'm hungry,' what would I tell you?" And I said, "Get something to eat." He's like, "Exactly." He said, "If you're spiritually hungry, get something to eat. It's available to us. The fire, the power of God, his spirit is available to us in this place." So I hope you guys came hungry. Amen. Okay, so when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's the first verse, right? The day the Holy Spirit came, there were 120 believers gathered together in unity, praying and seeking all in one place. This is why we have prayer meetings. We have the most important service of the week, which is this Wednesday night, right? It's powerful when a group of believers is in one place seeking the presence of God. Right? We're all together. We're all going to seek together. I'm so excited for tonight. "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." So obviously, you know, I'm going to explain this a little bit because it's hard for us to understand, I think, and visualize some of this. And I'm an English language arts teacher. I love visuals. I love sensory imagery. I love being able to picture what happens. So we're going to try to break this down a little bit so we can kind of picture and visualize what happened that day. Okay? So obviously, there was no denying that this was a supernatural event. One that these believers had never before experienced, but that would change the course of history. Interestingly, the word for spirit is pneuma, and the word for wind is nous, so P-N-E-U-M-A and P-N-O-E-S. There is a similarity in sound and in spelling. This is so cool because the two can be compared. We can't see the wind or the spirit with our eyes, but there's no denying its effects, right? So even tonight, you know, we might not hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind and see tongues of fire, but there will be no denying. Honestly, guys, I felt the Holy Spirit during worship. You know, God is already in this place. He's already moving. He's already alive and well, and there's no denying it. But similar in when the Holy Spirit first came to the 120. So here's your little lesson, okay? Sensory imagery, they're words and phrases used that appeal to the five senses. So the sense of, this is what I would say to my students. They'd be like, "Oh, the sense of walking?" I'm like, "No, that's not a sense." The sense of touch, taste, smell, hearing, sight. Sorry, I almost messed up. And so those are the five senses. And I just think it's so cool that in verse 2, we have the language that appeals to our sense of sound when it talks of the mighty rushing wind. And then in verse 3, we have the language appealing to our sense of sight. This is a description of the tongues of fire. It is also quite possible that the word tongues is used here because it's a symbol for speech and the sharing of the gospel. Because, man, the Holy Spirit is what enables us to communicate the gospel more clearly to those around here and around the world, right? So the commentary I read was saying quite possibly that's why tongues was there, because it's also the communication of the gospel. The Holy Spirit enables us to do that. There are many examples in the Bible of fire being used. It often is a symbol of God's purifying presence that burns away all impurities in our lives. It also can be used to talk about a Christian's burning desire in their hearts to know God and share him with others. Oftentimes we might use the term, oh, they're so on fire for God, when describing a believer who's extremely passionate about God and witnessing to others. Since at Pentecost, all of the believers experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unlike in other times when it was on isolated individuals, this symbolizes that God's presence is for everyone, each one of them. And I just want to reiterate, guys, that the Holy Spirit, the baptism is for you and me. It's not just for certain people. It's not just for pastors or, you know, missionaries that go around the world to Africa and different places. It's for you and me. It's for everybody. The Holy Spirit desires to give us that gift. Amen. My father's here, Ken, and he didn't know I was going to add him to my little illustration here, but it's all good stuff, Dad. So he always says that when I pick up the phone and call him, it's for one or two reasons. It's because, first of all, my mom didn't answer the phone when I called her. Sorry, it's true, I'm sorry. Or it's because he said he can see on the other end of the phone that I'm batting my big brown eyes at him and I want him to do something for me. And more often than not, it's probably the second. And since I do have a really healthy relationship with my father, and I'm so grateful for a godly man that's my father, I'm super grateful, he often gives me what I ask, if it's not bad for me. So there was one day I was moving to Enfield. So at 6 a.m. I was headed to Enfield from Agawam to meet the furniture delivery man. And I've never been good at keeping my gas tank up above like an eighth of a tank. I'm really bad at it. And I had never run out until then. And my poor dad, it's a Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. I call a cell phone, no answer. I call the house phone, there's an answer. I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I ran out of gas. It's really cold. It was cold. It was like October. And I said, I'm so sorry. What do I do? And he's like, give me a minute to think about it. And he came at 6 o'clock in the morning, came and bailed me out. He came and brought his own gas tank and put gas in my tank, and then we drove to the gas station, and I'm pretty sure he paid for my gas, too. And he said, Christina, everyone is allowed to run out of gas one time. I was like, oh, okay, that's a warning, never do it again. And I'm still not great at, keeping my gas tank full. But that just reminded me that, the Holy Spirit is our Heavenly Father, right? And He desires to give us good things when we ask, right? And He desires to give us the Holy Spirit if we ask Him for it. He wants to fill us. He wants to fill us with His presence and His Spirit. He loves us so much. He's not going to give us something bad when we're seeking His presence and asking Him to fill us. And I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit is for all of us. Amen? So our next point is the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit, it allows believers to powerfully communicate the gospel, to be witnesses. I definitely get amped up when I read these verses because I'm amazed and in awe. Like, man, as a missionary especially and as someone that's a lover of languages, I just always have been super interested in languages. And so this amps me up. I'm just going to reread this part real quick. It's Acts 2:4 and a few verses that follow as well. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And I'm going to go to where it says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Wow. So back to how difficult and how much practice it takes to learn a language. They got their language in 1 second by the presence and the power of God. I'm so jealous sometimes. I'm like, Lord, can I just be fluent in multiple languages? But how cool is it that God gave them the Holy Spirit so that people from the feasts, when they were coming for Pentecost, they were able to hear these tongues in their own language as they were coming for this feast. That's how much God cares about everybody, right? The gospel is open to all races, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And I just think this is so cool because I tell you, God wanted all believers to be invited and included in this, right? I wonder how many languages were represented there. I don't know. It warms my missionary heart so much. You know, guys, because we have the word at our fingertips literally, you know, like we have our apps, our YouVersion, you know, we can scroll, we can get any translation, we can get other languages, right? We can read it in multiple translations. I'm a little lazy, so I have it read to me because I have a hard time just sitting down and reading. I don't have the best attention span, and so I listen to it. But there's so many nations that there's still unreached people groups that don't even have the Bible in their own language. But God cared so much about these people that he had their own languages spoken so that they could understand. And that just shows that the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit allows us to powerfully communicate the gospel. It might not be in somebody else's language, but it will give us power to be witnesses in Enfield, in Springfield, in Africa, in Haiti, right? Because the Holy Spirit comes on us and just gives us that power to do so. So I just think it's so cool that God wanted all to hear the gospel, that he used 120 as vessels to speak to those in their own language. The commentary I studied describes it as a miraculous attention getter for the international crowd gathered in town for the feast. All of the nationalities represented recognized their own languages being spoken. Man, I'm still amazed. When you begin to study more in depth, you realize things you hadn't before, and I just thought this was cool. The purpose of speaking in tongues in Acts 2 was different than what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. Tongues was not the ecstatic or heavenly utterance to which Paul referred to. These were languages people understood. So it's the same spirit, but I just thought it was cool that the tongues were for different purposes. But it's still the same spirit, and it was still so the Holy Spirit could use believers to effectively communicate the gospel. This gathering of the nations was a perfect platform for launching the worldwide mission of the church. This event told the Jerusalem church that God intended the gospel for all nations in their own languages. This is super powerful because God does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. I love the following quote that says, "Christianity is not limited to any race or group of people. Christ offers salvation to all people without regards to nationality." People in Jerusalem were shocked to hear the apostles and other believers speaking in languages other than their own, the languages of other nationalities. But they need not to have been surprised because God works all kinds of miracles in order to spread the gospel, using many languages as he calls all kinds of people to become his followers. No matter what your race, color, nationality, or language, God speaks to you. Are you listening to his voice? This passage also speaks to me because as believers are gathered together in one place, seeking God in unity, he will do the miraculous. Those 120 were faithful and obedient without knowing the outcome of their persistence in prayer. What if we prayed persistently, consistently, daily, day in and day out, and we were faithful and we showed up, not knowing what the outcome was going to be? You know, trusting and believing that God could do the miraculous, but not knowing that it was going to happen. I love this persistence. These disciples didn't even know that there was a possibility of that happening, right? Of the coming of the, well, they did know because Jesus told them, but they didn't know how it would look and what it would do, but yet they were still seeking God's face, not knowing the exact outcome. So they didn't realize that they were going to be something great that would change the course of history. But just as the Holy Spirit enabled the 120 to powerfully communicate the gospel in Acts chapter 2, he fills us with his Holy Spirit to give us boldness to powerfully communicate the gospel to those we encounter. And my last point is, because we definitely want to spend some time seeking God for the baptism, is the baptism filling of the Holy Spirit allows believers to be filled with joy. The last verse in this section says, "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Obviously, this was an unprecedented occurrence, right? The Holy Spirit never came in this particular manner before. It caused questions and even assumptions. They weren't drunk. This assumption came because they were filled with overflowing joy. What if we as Christians acted really, you know, looked different and looked peculiar because we had extreme joy? That's what the Spirit brings. The disciples are not guilty of inebriated, slurred speech. They have experienced a joyous ecstasy that the Spirit brings. This is otherworldly joy. This is not happiness based on what is happening around us. This is indescribable contentment and fulfillment. Wow, who wouldn't want that, right? I know I do. I just want to quickly add that we as believers are peculiar. We're different. We're set apart. People might think we're weird. I went to Dunkin' Donuts this week because I really needed coffee on my lunch break. I find myself doing that every day these days. And the lady at the drive-in goes, she goes, why are you so happy? She goes, you drove up here smiling. I opened the window. You were already smiling. And I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I love God. I love Jesus. And I love life. I just said that. I was like, this is why, you know, right? Like, I tell you, as you get older, you really care less about what people think about you, right? You just want, you just know what God has called you to do. You want people to know. Like Fred always says, eternity is a long time, right? We need to have this urgency. Who cares what people think, right? We have a mission. We have a calling. Why hide it, you know? I'm just like, love God, love Jesus, love life, and here's my money. So let's live that out, right? And so she, you know, she probably thought it was a little crazy, but I almost forgot my debit card. She goes, hey, wait, here's your card. She goes, even though you're Christian, I think you still want your card, right? And I said, yeah, I think God wants me to be good with my money, so I probably should take my card. And then I, you know, it left. But, you know, when we are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, it changes us. It gives us the power to communicate the gospel. It gives us the power to have joy. Again, the disciples were not drunk. They weren't filled with wine, but they just lived in this joyous ecstasy that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And we're about to close. Shana and the worship team, if you guys could come back up, because it's only 8 o'clock, so please, the end of service isn't till 8:30, and again, Pastor Stephen has embedded this time, so it's not time to go just because the preaching's over, but I would just plead with you guys to come up front during this time, in a minute, when we start the altar time, and again, God wants to give us good gifts, right? One other thing that I wanted to add is, again, my father, he didn't know I was going to bring this up, but recently I turned my car on and the key fob got stuck in the ignition. I was like, oh, darn, guess I'm not going anywhere right now. And it was on the street. It was, you know, it was because there was, and then there was a parking ban and then I had to move my, you know, car. It was during a snowstorm. And of course, I called Dad. And I said, Dad, oh, what do I do? And I'm also, like, a little cheap sometimes in certain things. So I was like, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money to go to the dealer for a new one, huh? And so my dad knows a lot of guys, and he called around and found me a really cheap person that fixed it for me. But I called, and while I was at work, because I didn't want to take off work, he went and he did all the work for me. My mom let me borrow her car. My dad was, you know, driving around doing this and that during work, brought my car. And again, because a father, when you ask for a good thing, he wants to give it to you. And possibly some of you have never been filled with a baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because that's the initial physical evidence we believe as Assemblies of God believers, right? That's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. But, you know, we don't have to beg God, right? He wants to give us the Holy Spirit. Like, he desires to give us that gift. He wants to fill us. And so if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit before, please come and seek as well, because God wants to fill us again with a fresh fire to communicate the gospel. You know, we have much space in here, right? We want to invite people. We want to communicate the gospel and be witnesses and invite people in and have this house filled once again because there's room for more people, right? And so God will enable us and fill us with that power to witness to all of those around us. So let's seek him together. Please come. And if the pastors and deacons and deaconesses would come too just to pray, let's spend some time seeking him and singing along and worshiping together. Amen. I'm excited. Let's let God move, okay?